Good afternoon. Today is Friday, June the 14th, 165th day of the new year. Graduation day for a lot of local high schools, but not graduating from the fire department. It's Chief
Someday.
Ken Woods. Someday?
Someday it'll happen.
Yeah, well, it beats the option, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Boy, yesterday we heard that thing a little bit about chemical explosion in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something right. Fun to kick around.
Yeah.
We've got some other things also we'll talk about. 4th of July is coming up. We've got the situation or the discussion with the blending of now Humboldt Bay with Arcata, or
correct,
defining it as a little differently than what it currently is. So
right,
we'll talk about some of the different things that are out there. Then we'll do it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chief Woods. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Jack Nicklaus. This is an easy quote. You ready?
I'm ready.
Golf is a better game played downhill.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine that.
I'm sure it took a long time to come up with that one.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why he designed all his courses, either yeah, go left, right, or
right,
slant back to you. Yeah. does the fire department, Ken, fire departments, fire service, not Humboldt specifically.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Have simulators?
We do.
Really? So you can, it may not be the real deal, but kind of like a flight simulator where it's pretty darn close and you can get sucked into it?
Yeah. In fact, we have software. We can go out and take a picture of a building in town and then bring it back into classroom setting and put a visible fire in a specific location, for instance, a second story window, a roof, the front door, and create the scenario. Put our firefighters then in the classroom with radios, and they will fight that fire with their radios, just like they would at on scene, and determine strategy, tactics, how they're going to deal with a specific problem. We may throw in a rescue. We may throw in a collapse. So it's a fantastic tool for us in instructing our firefighters in just a wide range of situations.
So in doing something like that, is there a computer program so you can start monkeying with it and say,
there is.
Okay, this,
exactly,
this worked so that...
Yep.
Positives,
yeah, and then
going on,
it'll play out throughout the event so that, you know, you'll see fire at first, and as the scenario develops, depending on what they do, then that may convert to white smoke, showing that they're putting the fire out. We can make the fire get bigger when they're doing things based on their tactics. So, yeah, we can manipulate it really to suit the situation.
Not that you guys would ever be so inclined, but I'm thinking if I was behind the screen, hey, gas barbecue in the living room. Boom. And, you know, just start doing some of those weird things. Yeah, you're kind of messing with them. I mean,
yeah,
if you want to be really weird, you could mess with them. But just to throw in some really, really unique things that may never in a lifetime ever be there.
Exactly. But
you could be.
That's what we do. And we prepare, try to, for all those type of anomalies and strange events out there. And we do throw odd things in there. And it's fun, but it's a great learning tool when you're sitting behind, you know, that computer screen. All of a sudden, you're going through your process, how you're fighting the fire, and then something strange happens. There's an explosion, you know, the house next door catches fire, all those things that could happen. But now you're forced immediately to make some new decisions, come up with a whole set of different tactics, and fight that fire, rescue people differently than you originally intended to. So again, a great tool for thinking on your feet, situational awareness, and seeing the big picture.
Do they Do you ever put the senior staff
in
and let some of the guys that have gone through the training, okay, now it's your turn?
Usually the senior staff is busy in a meeting that day. So. But yeah, once in a while we do put ourselves in that hot seat.
Because I would think, you know, not that you're out of practice, but if some of the really weird stuff starts happening, there's a gas pipeline to next door or a gas truck pulls up and it explodes.
Yeah.
I mean, things that nobody would ever think about.
Right.
Either for yourself to go through and go, okay, pay attention, big boy.
Absolutely.
Or for the other guys to see either how to or how not to in some of these really weird scenarios.
And that is part of the benefit of it, as you can see how to do things and how they may be beneficial, but then you can actually see, without going through the emergency, how you may have, you know, implemented a specific tactic and how it had a negative effect.
Yeah.
So you learn.
That would be the whoops factor?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you learn, hopefully, not to do those kind of things.
Now, does it allow you to play with like the type of construction? It's a cinder block building versus with a wood facade versus a Victorian. Obviously, it's going to react significantly different.
Yeah, and that's all going to be based on how you input that information. It doesn't have specifically, well, a wood frame structure is going to burn at this rate, that type of thing, versus a metal. But, you know, our training officer can really control the size, the length, the depth, all that of the fire, depending on, you know, you may have a wood frame structure, but when you get inside, it could be a hoarder house full of
What?
Hoarder house.
Hoarder. Okay.
Hoarder house.
Hoarder. Hoarder. H-O-A-R-D-E-R.
Hoarder house.
Okay, good, good.
You know, with just an extreme fire load, as opposed to a metal building that's vacant with nothing in it. So, yes, hoarder houses, hoarder could be a problem.
You're trying to get on the highlight CD for the first 30 years here.
Don't you have a button that you can push for that?
Yeah, hoarder house. We'll work on that and other key phrases when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. CR administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon. Still Chief Ken Woods.
So far.
Nobody can say that these aren't boring programs.
That's true. They are entertaining.
There's always something going on. Let's talk a little bit about the budget. You've got a couple weeks left in this one.
We do.
Everybody's got their wish list. You guys, Santa came by with the big truck
early
this
in the year. Right.
We've seen a little bit of plumbing going on, some work with a couple of the
The stations.
I don't think wounded stations, I guess, is probably what
they wounded
are.
Is a good term for it, but they're back in action now.
Are there plans to liquidate those two and do something and get that process going?
Yeah, really.
We've heard it through the last four or five chiefs that it's an issue, it's an issue, it's an issue.
Right. It's, you know, Station 4 on Myrtle Avenue is really no plans to do anything there currently. The most pressing need is Station 3, which is on Ocean. And again, there's been a number of years of talking about moving that station further up Henderson, swapping some other properties with potentially the school district, those types of things. No real movement currently, so that's in a holding pattern, but really the station on Ocean and Henderson would be the first one that we would like to replace. It is outdated. It is built, in, I believe it was 47 in that range, 50. The ceilings are low, so we have a tough time purchasing new apparatus that will actually fit in those stations.
Oh, not the fire guys wearing their hats inside.
They can take those off. We do have a height limit, unlike Disneyland. It goes the other way.
Okay.
But the new apparatus with the emission requirements and the new emission equipment on them are getting taller and taller. So it really puts us in a tough situation as we go forward and replace some of our older fleet. We have to find things that are going to fit in the station.
Well, what do you're short of having a skylight.
Yeah.
And something goofy like that.
Right.
How long are you going to stay there? Or what is it going to take to go, oh my? I mean, obviously, if it fell apart, there would be an issue. If there was a fire, there would be an issue.
Yeah, that might be an issue.
Yeah.
Right.
It seems to me, just kind of outside, but maybe 25, 30 years of hearing about this, that it's going to take an external incident. It just is never going to be in the budget. It's never going to be in the budget. And something's going to happen that will have it, and it'll be done, wrapped up in a month.
Right. I think, it takes a lot of pre-planning. Now we have an asbestos roof at that station, and, we have leaky roof tiles, and you can't get on the roof then because it's asbestos and you break the tiles. And so we're approaching a point where we've continued to put Band-Aids on the situation. And we really need to look at a program to put money away so that we're saving for the future. And if you look at the station on Harris, where we were able to add a second story, we saved that money over a period of time, put specific amount away every year so that, we were able to do the remodeling project. And that's really what we want to be prudent with our money as we go forward and plan for these future events. But it's tough to catch up now when you've got a station that's that old and having troubles.
How much does a fire station cost?
Depending on
just the building.
Yeah, $3 million, $4 million, depending on how many stalls you want to put in there, how much apparatus you want to be able to store. And when I'm talking about stalls, I'm talking about apparatus stalls in this case.
Good. I figured I'd go down and buy a couple urinals for you and not worry about
face.
It.
Yeah, I saw that was coming, I tried to qualify it ahead of time. Not horse stalls either. And
depending on the ruralness of the area, I could even save you a couple more bucks.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
The property is a big challenge also, so that it's a viable location for you to be in?
Yeah.
I mean, are there many of those properties that are even left? Or are you looking at having to buy an existing structure, knock it down, or structures,
and
knock them down?
That is the first thing we look at, is where the calls are. And we, look at our data for the last few years. Where are the bulk of our calls? Where is the best place for the responses? And then you go, after identifying that area, you look at what's around there. So is there land that's available? Are there vacant buildings that you might be able to make some type of arrangement on to put a station in there?
Any thoughts for the training facility? Could that be blown out into a fire station, or is that
it
not
really
a good
can't
spot?
With the area down there, and it's in the coastal zone and a lot more restrictions in there, so it's really not a good location. And the one on Ocean is a pretty good location because we can go up the hill, up Harris, we can quickly get on 101 and go south or north, so it is a good location. Somewhere along that Henderson West End there is pretty good for us, and we have that's our busiest station.
So the Winslow location really is
is a good location. Absolutely.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Kenwood.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Wood. Ken, when I heard about the Arcata discussion and the fire district coming on the heels of Humboldt coming into existence,
yes,
it just kind of seemed logical, and you could throw in Samoa and Peninsula and those around the bay that are the volunteers. Because what I thought was, okay, yeah, you got functioning, you got the MOUs, you got the JPAs, you got the Jabberwocky, all that kind of
right, fine. All great. That good stuff.
But you'd have an opportunity then to have somebody coordinate the paid staffs, somebody to coordinate the volunteers, somebody to handle the budget, and really almost hit a critical mass size so that you can do... And we can all benefit from the do
right.
of really what the area needs.
Right.
Is that kind of the overall big picture?
Is it there? It is the big picture. It is definitely a goal of Humboldt Bay Fire that consolidation is something that we would work towards. Although, you know, we need to start small. We've been in discussions with Arcata regarding joint chief services, Arcata contracting with us for chiefs. We've made proposals to them. They have not made a definite decision, but when we can combine our resources, it leads to cost savings and reducing the redundancy. We've made a proposal to them, as I mentioned, for the chief services, would save them about $98,000 over hiring their own chief, making a schedule type change with their duty officers, additional savings there. But what you're talking about, again, is being able to combine our resources. We have volunteers in Humboldt Bay. Arcata has a great tradition of volunteers, and if we could, you know, put our volunteers together to utilize them most beneficial to us, put them in the most flexible places, really take advantage of what they have to offer, it's a win-win for all of us. The same with resources, where whether it be sharing apparatus, specialized apparatus. We have two ladder trucks, for instance. They have one. When there goes into maintenance shop, we could send one of ours up there and do those types of things. The economy of scale from purchasing, whether it's protective clothing, equipment, turnouts, tools, all those kind of things, that putting our purchasing power together is a real advantage. But it's a process. It's not something we're looking to just happen overnight. It's going to be trying this out, and it's really now up to the Arcata board to determine to what level of input Humboldt Bay Fire is going to have with their operations. And we have things to offer, and obviously they have things to offer too.
So it's still a process and evolution that's going on now?
It is right now. It is in process, and again, it's we've made some proposals to the Arcata board based on initial talks and conversations we've had. They are looking at those, and then we'll be making some future decisions, hopefully within the next few weeks.
The medical side of the equation, I know that's something that it forms a vast majority of what you guys do
exactly
in the consolidated department here. Does Arcata have similar numbers, or do
they do?
The ambulance take care of that?
No, they respond similarly to what we do. Probably, you know, off the top of my head, I would imagine 70-65% of their calls are medical in nature. As you know, we're able to put paramedics at Humboldt District, and we've just gotten approval to start a paramedic program in the city of Eureka at Station 4. And because it is really the bread and butter of what we do, we're always looking to expand our medical capabilities. And if we could make some progress with Arcata in that way too, it's a win for the community.
So as you're looking at some of the different opportunities that are there, where would you see the initial cost savings, or inverting it, where would you see the additional service opportunities with the budget staying the same and the employee staff staying the same?
Again, I think the staff is one where you can reduce some of the overhead by, you know, joint training, just the sharing of resources there, prevention bureaus, and then the number of chiefs that you have out there. Those are tangible cost savings that you can put back into the line staff, and those are the folks that are responding on the engines.
What about with the volunteer departments in Peninsula, Samoa? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to step on their character at all, similar to
right.
the Arcata volunteers. You wouldn't want to step
right.
on them. But can those departments also, would they be able to benefit from
this? Yeah, in fact,
this?
Yesterday we had our Humboldt Bay Fire Joint Powers Authority meeting, and we were talking specifically about new members and having just auxiliary-type members where they could join with us for purchasing our protective equipment. So, you know, where again, we may be purchasing 30 sets of turnouts that we wear into a fire, they may only need to buy two or three sets, but for them, the price is much more expensive. If they could be a part of our JPA, just from the purchasing standpoint, get in with us, then we all will save additional with that, again, that cost purchasing power that we have. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for us in Humboldt County to make some inroads there.
We talked a month or so ago about dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
That one seems to be the third rail. I don't think anybody's going to have any big issue, you know, if it's consolidated further or not.
Right.
But dispatch, boy, it seems like there must be angels in dispatch. And not to denigrate them, but that seems to be the sacred cow in law enforcement and in fire protection. Is that an area that you even want to mess around with right now?
You know, I think it is. And again, just as we've looked at consolidation and seen the successes with Humboldt Fire District and Eureka and what we're doing now operationally and the better product that we're putting on the street, I think you can look to do those types of things with dispatch centers as well, whether it's combining fire, whether it's combining police and sheriff. Again, you know, having two exact same type of dispatches doing the same thing, is that as productive and cost effective as having one? I don't think so. Dispatch is an awful tough job. They do an incredible job under a lot of pressure, but giving them then the latest technology, not having it spread across a wide range of institutions, I think is beneficial ultimately to the community.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, the 4th of July is going to be here and gone, but before we see each other again in this setting.
Right.
What is your biggest concern about this 4th of July? Is it the traditional stuff, or is there anything that really kind of has you on edge this year that's a little bit different than some of the past?
No, it's pretty traditional every year. It's the illegal fireworks that are out there, the ones that fly through the air, that move along the ground, that are not approved by the California State Fire Marshal as safe and sane fireworks. And it's those, again, that cause fires, whether it's bottle rockets, and cause injuries. These are the unlicensed fireworks coming from who knows where in the world, and they're not controlled in the same manner in their production process, and they're extremely dangerous. And every year you hear about injuries across the country that take place, whether it's children, adults, and structure fires as a result. So those are always a concern for us.
I know this is going to sound really bizarre, but does Washington and Nevada, do they have the standards for fire?
California?
I mean, it's different, certainly, and they go airborne, yeah. And I know that's the big
right.
bugaboo, but versus some of the international places that, that make fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is there a degree of badness?
I think, just off the top of my head, I think it really varies from state to state and what they allow. You know, specific counties, for instance, allow fireworks to be sold but not be used. Others allow any types of fireworks to be sold and used. So you'll get a whole wide range, and there's not a uniformity in different parts of the country. So
buy them here, just don't use them here.
Yeah, that's
that's interesting.
That was in Solano County. I mean, in eastern Solano County, you could not use fireworks legally in the county, yet you could buy them. So that was, you know, a little different situation there.
Yeah. Hopefully they have their fireboat ready.
Right.
Is there a concern about medical response or inebriation, you know, people using drugs or over imbibing with booze in association? Fourth of July is a Thursday this year. It's going to be a little bit different. It's not like it's a Friday or in the middle of a three-dayer.
Right. I think anytime you have a celebration, you're going to have those types of incidents. We see an increase of those, again, whether it's the alcohol, whether it's the drugs. We deal with those on a regular basis as it is, but they are expanded during those days, and it does put a greater strain on our medical side.
See, we got almost all the way through here, and I haven't even talked to you about Neighborhood Watch, have I?
Not yet.
But let me throw you an oddball question, just because we have a couple minutes.
Okay.
Neighborhood Watch normally involves cops.
Right.
Have you been in programs or in areas where Neighborhood Watch includes fire? Not for fire bugs, mm-hmm. but for the medical. And how do you recognize somebody who's looped? Or how do you deal with them? Or how do you interact with them? Do you guys ever engage that way?
Yeah, ours is a little different. Ours is the CERT program, the Citizens Emergency Response Team. And we're currently working with Humboldt State to instruct individuals within neighborhoods to form CERT teams. It's more geared toward the emergency, catastrophic type event, earthquake, tsunami, that type of thing. But those skills you learn can certainly be applied throughout your neighborhood for a car wreck, for a gas leak, for those common incidents that we see on a regular basis. So, yeah, even though, you know, you think a Neighborhood Watch is primarily being police, the CERT teams that are being formed out there will fill that niche and play a real vital role for us going forward.
See, it wasn't that weird a question, was it?
Compared to some of your others, no.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.